You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, I'm Brett.
And I'm Steven.
And we are
the Broadway Husbands.
We're just your all-American married couple making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family. On the Broadway Husbands podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances.
We are living proof that you can love who you love and love what you do. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
Members of our Patreon get exclusive access to behind-the-scenes videos, blogs, and other perks, including free apparel and so much more. To become part of our Patreon family, go to patreon.com/Broadway Husbands. What are we talking about today?
All right, on today's episode, we're going to just talk about how this year has been. It has been a year since
The global pandemic shutdown.
And what a year it's been.
Oh my gosh.
What a year.
I mean, it's honestly, been. When you start to think about it, it's a little overwhelming.
It's really overwhelming. I'm really, you know, it's a little past the year mark now. And, you know, at this point last year, I mean, I'm just speaking personally, my anxiety was like crazy. I mean, it was so high. I felt like, all of the air in my body was like up in the bottom of my throat, and I just couldn't breathe. I mean, it was really a tough adjustment. Like, I don't even know what you would call it.
We didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, we just didn't know what was happening. And then you would turn on the news, and all of the stuff that was happening in New York City in the beginning was terrible and so much. And we were stuck in our apartment. And
so exactly a year ago, where were we? Because you're really good at remembering things like this.
Exactly a year ago.
We were in the East Village.
In the East Village, in our apartment in New York. And, you know, we were scared to go outside.
I can't even remember how much time passed before we started to just work online. Because you had been teaching at like Steps. No, you were teaching at...
I was teaching at Ballet Academy East.
Ballet Academy East.
That was like my regular teaching job. And
you were teaching there like two or three times a week, right?
Yeah, I taught there three times a week. And so I think pretty early on, I mean, maybe like a week passed, not even a week, and then it all went online. Maybe 2 weeks, I don't know, but definitely... It happened all pretty quickly.
And I think that we were in kind of shock at the time because I honestly, my concept of time just feels very non-existent from that moment, because I just remember at some point I woke up and was like, I had this community of actors that I work with online that could use my help right now. And I just jumped into like, coaching mode and started doing my interviews every day. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't I doing interviews every day during the week?
Yeah. I'm not sure if that happened in the city or...
No, I remember it started probably the second week of we were in the city.
Yeah. So it's crazy to think, like, it feels like maybe in the very beginning we were in shock, which we were, because like when you think about it, one of the first things that I remember watching... like binge watching was
Tiger King.
And I remember like a friend of mine actually texted me and was like,
Damien?
No, it was Jason Babinski.
Oh, Jason. Yeah.
He texted me and was like, you have to watch this. This show has you written all, like has your name written all over it. Cause it's like, I was at one point obsessed with
animals in captivity.
Yeah. Having wild animals. Anyways, so
who would have thought that would have become such a trend?
Yeah, but that was so long ago. And also, like, we watched it in, I think, like a day.
We did.
I remember we were just sitting on the couch and I was like, well, let's just keep watching. Yeah. Let's just keep watching, because we had nothing else to do. And we were so scared to go outside. And, you know, those early days, I can just remember my anxiety being so high. And, you know, the things that I did to cope was... we would watch TV, a lot of it at once. We would go outside regularly, but only like maybe once a day, maybe twice. and we would walk around for a half hour. And at the time, it was still really cold, and the weather was pretty depressing. I do remember that, but we tried to make the most of it. We do a good job of
well,
that.
Well, then we started like
doing TikTok.
I was like kind of digging into TikTok because while you would teach class, I would go into like the bedroom and I'd be like, right? And I would like just kind of start exploring TikTok, and I was like, we're going to go outside and do a dance. We need to go outside. So we started doing those little, I think the first one was the rent dance, right? Well, mm-hmm. We did some inside the apartment, and then we would go out to Tompkins Square Park and do stuff, or we would go out to like Greenwich Village and do something.
And but that was basically our exercise.
Yeah, that was our only exercise.
I also, you know what's really funny too to think about, but I don't know if it's funny, but I think it's on the TikToks too. You can see that we don't have masks on, but we're wearing gloves. Because I don't think we had masks at the time. Like, I think it was really early on.
We didn't.
So we had a lot of gloves because our building had a big box of gloves.
Uh-huh. The entryway.
The entryway. So we would always have gloves. And then I guess we did have masks because we couldn't go into stores without a mask. Or no, we would just use like our shirts and things and scarves.
We used scarves.
That's what we were doing. Mm-hmm. We were using scarves. That's right. So that's crazy to think about. And that's all we would do is like kind of walk around.
But that was 2 weeks. We were only there for 2 weeks because after the second week.
Yeah, like 2.5 weeks because we got back, what, like the 15th of March?
Yeah. After that second week, we were like, we got to get out of here. We had a car that they were not doing alternate side of the street parking, which was great.
Yeah, so we didn't.
But we find him just like, we have this car.
Let's get out.
And Stephen's brother has a house in Pittsburgh. Let's just go. So. Yeah. It's crazy to think that that was a year ago.
Yeah, we left on April 1st.
So you have such a good memory for these dates.
Well, I mean, I remember that because we got there on April 1st and my mom's birthday is April 2nd. So I was like excited that we could be there for her birthday and kind of.
But we couldn't remember for her birthday.
We just went.
We got a card and we sprayed it with hand sanitizer.
Yeah, because we couldn't actually see her.
Yeah, and we left it like on the front porch and sprayed it with hand sanitizer.
And then we stood in the backyard and she came out on the deck and we sang happy birthday to her. And that was really fun.
It's funny to think about that because now people are just like, you know, eating at restaurants, not wearing masks. You're like, what has happened? Yeah. But thank God we had that car and we were able to get out of there and we thought we were only going to be there for like a few weeks.
I don't know what we thought.
And then we were like there for 3 months.
We were there for 3 months. And in that time, let's like.
What did we watch?
Oh, yeah. So.
Because we got really into
watching. We got into a lot of things. So I think whatever the newest season of Ozark was.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was like season 3 of Ozark. Is that right?
So good.
And that show is so good. And that season was so good with the brother. Who came into town and his acting, whoever that, I can't think of the actor's name, but he was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And that show is just so shockingly good. I mean, like the things that happened on that show are just shocking. You're like, whoa, what else? What other, got into like crazy documentaries.
We love documentaries.
I remember when we first got there, we watched, and again, my anxiety was so high. Like I didn't know how to like be, but we watched this documentary and what was it called? It was about the cult leader.
Oh my gosh.
It was something like Welcome to Hell.
No. It was like Hell. Oh gosh. It was on Netflix.
Anyway, it was about this cult leader who turned out to be like a former porn star.
He was
like
rowdy.
And like all of the footage that they had of him, he was like always walking around in a Speedo and like all of the people he was kind of like, healing them, but
laying his hands on them.
Laying his hands on them and like passing light through them, you know, like kind of like a spiritual something. But like he's in a Speedo and like all of the people are like on their knees and it always looked very like.
Inappropriate.
Yeah, that's the word. Anyways, that was a fun one. I wish I could remember what it was called. And
I can't remember.
It was so
Holy
good.
Hell.
Holy Hell. Oh my God. If you are looking for some crazy documentary, watch that. And like I said, our anxiety was really high and we watched that and I was like, oh my God, this is crazy.
And at some point, I guess maybe it was like a couple weeks into Pittsburgh. I was like, we were calling my friend Lisa, who is one of our best friends. And we were just like, I was talking to her. I was like, I just feel like I'm not getting any, I'm not being very active. And she was like, you just need to get up and go for a walk. And I was like, okay. Right. So I just started getting into this, like, before I check my phone, before I do anything, I'm going to go for a walk. And I started getting up and doing that, and it made all the difference.
And then we started as a couple, mm-hmm. taking as a couple, as a married couple, we started taking walks together there, and we would walk for like at least 45 minutes.
There was this beautiful trail, and we would see bunny rabbits and birds and
all kinds of deer.
It was beautiful. Gorgeous. I'm kind of sad we're not going to be there for that. I've gotten here in Texas, there's nowhere to really walk that's safe. It's like, I mean, I've gone for runs, but it just feels a little
like you might get run over.
Yeah, I might get hit by a car because the way people drive here. So I kind of miss having that trail nearby. That was really, really nice.
It was really nice. Well, there'll be trails
at our new house.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
But after we did that, what else did we watch? Because I remember we watched a lot. We've watched a lot. We're very good about watching series. And we will, like right now, we're watching Ted Lasso.
Right now, we're watching Apple Ted Lasso, Plus. Which is so good and so sweet.
So good. So positive.
So positive.
And then we watched, the actors are so good. At one point, we watched The Morning Show.
Oh, yeah. The Morning Show.
So good.
Oh, my God.
At one point, we watched... I mean, we love documentaries. And we watched The Stairway.
Oh, no. Actually, I don't know that we watched that during the pandemic.
Oh, really? Was that before the pandemic?
I think it was before the pandemic. But you have to watch it's called The Staircase.
Oh, The Staircase.
But then one of the things that we did watch during the pandemic is NXIVM, speaking of cults.
The NXIVM series or documentary, which one? There's two. We only watched one of them. We watched
one of them. And I think it was just called NXIVM, right?
Was it?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I think that's what it's called.
What else did we watch? We've watched a lot. So
at one point we stopped watching Crazy Things and we would just turn on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's watch Pinocchio.
Yeah.
Let's watch like anything to lighten the mood, you know?
Well, we got to a point, I think really towards the beginning of the pandemic, we were watching the news all the time.
We had to actually stop watching the news.
We watched mostly CNN at that time. And it would just, your anxiety would just like be so high from watching the news.
Yeah, you know, and especially those early days when they were like, the tanker is pulling into the bay, or the
refrigerated trucks are pulling into the thing to like put bodies in outside the hospital.
All that stuff.
Like, I mean, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So we had to just like stop.
And then once we were in Pittsburgh, the thing that was happening on the news was the president's daily briefing. Oh my God. If anything will give you anxiety, it's that.
Listening to that man talk.
You're like, well,
there's no hope.
Yeah.
There's no hope.
So we had to stop watching that as well.
And then,
that really didn't help.
And then we, so we would just kind of either not turn the TV on. Mm-hmm. And if we did, it was very intentional to watch something specific.
Like 10 minutes, get the gist.
And then I figured out to get the news for me. I don't like to watch the TV, so I will just use the NPR on Alexa. Alexa, stop. And I will just say, tell me the news, and I'll get like a 5-minute report update of the headlines and from NPR, and there's no, it's just, here's the information.
Yeah, this is what's happening.
If you want to, you can go into like a more of an op-ed, like digging into stories, but I usually just get the headlines. I'm like, okay, great. Know what I need to know.
And then speaking of like, you know, the exercise thing, I think that once we got to Pittsburgh, you know, I felt like I was taking class every day online. I was taking class every day. I was teaching a lot with Antonia Franceschi.
Mm-hmm.
I was teaching a lot and we were walking a ton.
So we did Whole 30.
Brett really wanted to do it. We had done it before. And I think that we started doing it around Memorial Day because we were at my parents' house. It was really hot outside, I remember.
Well, because up until that point,
we've been eating.
We were like going to Wendy's.
When we first got to Pittsburgh,
we have this terrible habit of doing this when we go to new places. Because we've moved so many times, where we're just like, I need fast food. I'm hungry. We're hungry. We don't feel like cooking. We don't feel like figuring out the kitchen or whatever. And so we got into this terrible habit of eating fast food.
In the beginning, when we first got there. Yeah.
We did that in Charleston, too.
I know. But in Pittsburgh, we did go to the grocery store, and we cooked a ton at home.
Yeah, but we were making, like, burgers and...
But we still weren't eating out. That's anyways.
True. It was easy.
But then
I was like, we should do Whole30.
Brett really decided to do Whole30, and I just kind of had to say yes.
You didn't have to do any of it.
That's not true. I was supporting. And I also wanted to do it too. So we started doing it. With Brett, it was like, we're going to start tomorrow. And like, we hadn't even like done the shopping for it. Anyways. So we did it. And it was a big help. It gave us, you know, it also gave us structure too about what to eat. And it made it a lot easier to like make things because we had, you know, a system or rules in place, and it just makes it a lot easier.
So have we stuck to Whole30 since then?
I have.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
I'm like Whole365.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. We did it. We did the 30 days and then almost immediately just started eating.
That's not true. I think we did pretty well. And then
we carried it over a little bit.
Yeah. And then, you know, we went back to New York because we had sold our apartment. And so we had to...
Yeah, again, like your routine just kind of gets...
Changes.
So screwed up. Yeah. And then we were back in New York and we were there in like July.
July, which was like the worst. Hot. Yeah.
And
also like because of the pandemic, I remember I had a dentist appointment and we had gotten there and it was, you know, it was hot. It was really hot. And I remember in Pittsburgh, if we were outside, you didn't necessarily have to have a mask on. And I remember I was walking down the street, or I didn't want to take the subway. My dentist is on like 60th Street in like Lexington. And we live on like 7th Street and 2nd Avenue. And I didn't want to take the subway. And so I walked. And as I was walking, I noticed that a lot of people outside had masks on. But it was so hot. I was like, I cannot walk down the street with a mask on for this far. And so I kept like putting it on and taking it off because I felt guilty. But at the same time, I was like, this is just, I'm dying here. And some people didn't. But I felt horrible like at the times that I would see. There weren't a lot of people on the street either. So, but it was a rough walk. Yeah. Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So we were able to, I will say that month that we were in New York to pack up and move was probably the most stressful for me. I was super frustrated every day because I would have to, like, you were teaching in the living room and I'd have to go in the bedroom to coach and there's no air conditioning in there. Mm-hmm. And I would just be like, and
it was rough.
And then we had to, like, pack all of our stuff into boxes, which was a whole nother thing. Mm-hmm. And then that last day was such a killer because the movers were 4 hours late. I think we have a whole episode about it.
Yeah.
But but anyway.
It was a rough moment.
I think that was probably the roughest moment. And that was also when you got the offer to come to Houston.
That's right. And I got the offer to come to Houston. At first, I wasn't sure I was going to take it. And then I ended up agreeing to it. So then we were driving back to Pittsburgh, knowing that then we were going to drive to Houston. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot has happened. And so then we got to Houston in August. And initially, we stayed with Brett's parents because the apartment we rented wasn't quite ready. So I think we were only at your parents' house for a week. Is that right?
Yeah, it was just a week.
Yeah, it was just a week. So that was nice. But again, talk about anxiety. So, like, my just being so stressed out about the pandemic, you know, obviously, and then coming to a new place and then having to then go to a place I was now teaching in person.
Uh-huh.
So that was like a big adjustment for me and also nerve-wracking and still sort of is. And just feeling like I can stay far enough away from the students and all of those things and just being adjusted to that. I remember the first day I went, I was so nervous. I mean, like, really, really nervous. And you know, luckily they're taking all the right precautions and I'm able to always keep myself really as far away from them as I want. So I feel safe in that regard. But you know, it's just a lot of adjustment, you know? And now we you know, we've been in this apartment here since August.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a really great apartment, you know, for the most part.
Oh yeah, I'm really happy with what we've had and I'm excited that we're going to be moving into a house.
Yeah, super excited.
Have space but in the meantime, at some point I think I realized, like, just time management wise, I needed to structure my time better because Steven, especially with his job, was able to, like, go somewhere to work and then come home. But I work from home, so I wasn't really shutting off. Like, I was, like, working all day and I still have a hard time kind of shutting off my brain. But I it's hard too because there's not really, like, a dedicated office space. So I tend to, like, get a little bit, like, I wake up at 6 and I'm thinking about work, and then it's like 9 o'clock and I'm in the evening and I'm still thinking about work, and I don't have a way to, like, walk away from it.
Right.
And so I had to, like, at some point really make a strong decision. Like, 9 p.m. is when I shut off my computer on Saturdays and Sundays, and now it's Fridays and Sundays. I take the days off so we can be together.
Because those are my days off too.
So that I don't burn out and don't just work. And sometimes, like, it's frustrating because I know that there's stuff that needs to get done that hasn't gotten done. And yet I'm taking a day off and I don't feel like I deserve the day off because that's, you know, I run the business. So it's been an interesting year of figuring out how to be a business person, of growing my business, but also managing our life as a couple.
And also as it, like, just is constantly, not that life doesn't change, wasn't changing before the pandemic, but it feels like all of the circumstances are constantly really changing. It's like a constant thing. But for the most part, I think we've done okay. It's been all good, but it's definitely been a little stressful at times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I can't believe it's been a year.
That's where we are.
Hopefully next year at this time, this will all be in the past And
I hope so.
Yeah, hopefully it will. And you know what?
I don't know. I mean, I think that hopefully this time next year will be. You know, I don't even know. I mean, it's hard to predict. Everyone asks us, even after we announced that we were getting this house,
right?
Are you? Does it mean you're never coming back to New York? Like, what does this mean? And like those are the questions we ask ourselves.
Yeah, we're not sure.
I don't know, but literally this moment right now, this is a better option for us financially, and we really want to be dads, and that's like our priority. How do we set ourselves up to do that in a way that's not stressful?
Mm-hmm.
And this has all been very stressful. So if we can get into a space where we are spending less money and we have space, we'll feel like we can be a little less stressed.
Yeah.
And we'll take it from there, because honestly, with Broadway being shut down, and yes, there's rumblings and people are doing outdoor things and there's going to be some summer things. And I think it's great. I'm really excited. The Muni is going to have a season, and I'm excited that Oslo Rep is doing things.
Oh,
but
that's cool.
Like, and there'll be things in New York, but not enough to employ us or our friends, you know, full time.
Yeah.
And until that really can happen, we might as well keep our overhead low.
Mm-hmm.
And keep serving the people that we serve in our businesses and be in your family, which is nice.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Who knows?
Right now, this is good. We're going to stay in Texas for now.
Yes.
With the hopes that we'll get auditions for things and we can self-tape for things and continue to put ourselves out there as artists and book work that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also really excited to get to know the Houston community a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's where we are 1 year later. Leave us a message on Instagram. Let us know where you are on your path. Or if you want to shoot us a DM or an Instagram or an email, we'd love to hear from you and let us know how you're doing. And of course, also consider joining us on Patreon, where we're going to do monthly Zoom meetings with our patrons and also show some behind the scenes of us as we're designing and building out our house.
Yeah.
So come be a part of our Patreon community. We'd love to have you. Now we're going to move on to a segment we call Spotlight on Love.
I've been in quarantine with my husband for a year now, and sometimes we have bad days separately, and it's so difficult not to take on each other's energy. How do I create space for my spouse when they are going through a bad day without taking on their bad day?
Huh.
That's tough.
Yeah. I feel like that probably a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah.
After this year of quarantine,
I think what has helped me is having a schedule, right? Like even when I wasn't going somewhere for work, right? Like it was really helpful. Like thinking back on this year, it's like when we were in Pittsburgh, I think I took class every day at noon, right? So even if I didn't have a lot of other work things that I had to do, like I knew that I had to take this class at noon, whether I wanted to or not, I would always do it. And so I was doing that on top of like whatever teaching things that I had, and just kind of allowing myself to have time by myself, right? Whether that's in like a different part of the room or the apartment, or if it's going outside, or if it's calling someone on the phone, it's really like making space for your own schedule and own life. And then having the times and moments where you are together with your partner or husband. And so that your whole day doesn't rely on their schedule, right? It's like you can't just like always be doing the same thing. Therefore, if you have separation, it's easier not to take on their bad mood. And it's also easier for you to come into the space with a more positive attitude, and hopefully your attitude will rub off on theirs.
Yeah, I think that it's I mean, I know we've had challenging days for myself because we have one car.
Yeah.
And so if we're living together, we're in the car together. And if one person's having a stressful moment, I mean, people drive crazy here in Texas.
They drive crazy everywhere.
That's true.
Wait, can we tell you a really quick story?
Tell it.
So we had just gotten to Pittsburgh. And like I said, oh my gosh. Wait, this is so funny. And my anxiety was like through the roof. Like I was like just scared to drive down the road. Like, cause there was no one outside. It was like a ghost town. And we were driving to Trader Joe's and we were stopped at this red light. And it was like a light where you could only turn left if like there was an arrow, right? So those lights usually take a longer time anyway. And we're sitting there for a long time. I mean, I thought this light was never going to change. There weren't very many people on the road. There was somebody that was behind me. And all of a sudden, we're waiting there for a long time. All of a sudden, the guy in the car behind me gets out and starts walking up towards me. And it's like, pull up to the sensor. Pull up to the sensor. Like, I guess he thought there was some sort of sensor that my car needed to be in front of for the light to turn green. It was in the middle of the day. There was no sensor. Like, I think I might have said, go fuck yourself. I might have said that because I was so scared. I was like, what the hell is this guy doing? Anyways, I don't know why I felt the need to tell you that.
Because that's a great example of, like, how one person's anxiety kind of takes over them.
Yeah.
And then it's hard as the other person in that space to not, like, at least for me, I'm very empathic anyway, mm-hmm. to just like take that stress on and want to fix it or want to stop it or want to, like, it's just like, it's super challenging. So how do you help create space for them to have a bad day? I mean, for me, literally, I have to sometimes just walk away.
Yeah.
I sometimes just need to go, okay, he's having a bad day. I'm going to go into a separate room, or I'm going to go for a walk, or I'm going to, you know, just give each other space to have your feelings. Sometimes I'm literally just biting my tongue and not saying anything and taking deep breaths so that Steven, if Steven's having anxiety about whatever, he's allowed to have it, and I don't need to join in, and I don't need to fix it, and I don't need to solve it. Like, he can just have that moment, and I can just trust that, like, it will pass. And same thing for me. Like, I have a lot of, like, stressful days with work, and I feel constantly, and because I run my own business, it all falls on my shoulders. And there are days where I feel like a complete failure because I didn't get done what I needed to get done. And it's impossible for me to do it all because I was one person business. And the end of the day, I'm beating myself up, and I need to be able to, like, process that and move through that. I'm very hard on myself in general. And I can tell Steven wants to fix it and wants to solve it. And it's a hard thing when you don't have a lot of space to allow other people to have space. So
yeah.
I feel you, man. So I think the best thing to do is just walk away as much as you can. And that might not mean you can walk away physically, but maybe just emotionally, you can just breathe, create space for yourself so that you're not getting sucked into it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
That's my thoughts.
Yeah.
All right. If you want completely unqualified advice from us on this podcast, please consider shooting us a DM on Instagram or shoot us an email at Broadway Husbands. You can go to BroadwayHusbands.com. We would love to offer you relationship, dating, family advice. We love hearing from our followers and our listeners. Thanks for listening to the Broadway Husbands podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. And while you're at it, leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on.
Don't forget to check out Broadway Life Apparel and our new designs that are released every month. Thanks to our Patreon patrons. Don't forget to join our family by going to patreon.com/Broadway Husbands.
And a big shout out to the Broadway Podcast Network. Go to bpn.fm/husbands to check out the wide array of Broadway themed podcasts for your listening pleasure. And on this podcast, we encourage you to love who you love
and love what you do.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.